me find my place in my book. Okay, so yes, we were at 49.
So 49 is the world you see. The world you see, hear, touch, taste, and smell is real. The only question is whether you are transfiguring this world of knowing or believing. Do you have the ears and mind to understand that a knowing is easier to change or surrender than a belief?
I had a question about it.
There, these words make sense in a sentence, but I'm not used to thinking this way.
I mean, the first part I get,
see, hear, touch, taste, that's real, I got it. Yeah. The only question is whether you're transfiguring this world of knowing or believing. I would have expected knowing and believing. No, it's knowing or believing? Okay.
Well, is knowing and believing the same thing?
No, I don't think that's so.
Thus, it's the or. Why would it be or? Think about it for a second.
What?
Why would it be or? Think about it.
You mean
the difference between knowing and believing?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have the choice to live a knowing or a believing.
Yes, but what's the difference?
To me, knowing comes from outside.
Yep.
Like what I learn. What I study, believing,
what others will agree with.
Well, not necessarily. Okay. It doesn't have to be that others agree.
The opposite.
Okay.
Can be, yeah. And believing is more my personal belief, what I make out of the knowing, or, yeah.
Okay.
Something in that direction, yeah.
So why would it be that a knowing would be easier to surrender than a belief?
Well, I had a question about that. It's really difficult for me.
Okay, what's your question?
I just don't, to me, the knowing is my, it's the knowingness that I have.
Okay, so let's put it this way, okay?
Is that a me thing?
No, knowing is, let's put it as, knowing is information, and belief is what you do with it.
That's a good way to put it in front.
So if that's the case, why would it be easier to give up a knowing than a belief?
Well, you're saying that is what you do with it? Yeah, I'm thinking you have to change yourself.
Right, because a belief is yourself. A knowing is just information.
Yeah.
It's not you.
Yeah.
But a belief is you. It's been taken through all your filters and all the way you look at everything, and then put it into how it relates to you. And it would be very easy, very difficult to change how it is to you. Because in order to do that, you'd have to change yourself.
Well, that's very interesting. I never thought of that. I'm really out of practice with some of these knowing and believing, things like that.
Well, what we have to do is just slow down and take them apart so that we can all get that information together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So does that one make sense to everybody now?
Yes. I still need to probably see it more in action in different ways that get revealed, because I think it's an area that I need to lead myself.
Okay. So, I will read passage 50, since it will be my turn. In the world dominated by knowing and opposites, you are always trying to transfigure illness into well-being, ignorance into wisdom, lack into abundance, and discomfort into pleasure, knowing all too well that, ever should you achieve what you desire, it will quickly deteriorate and fade. Only in believing can matters serve as you truly desire. For in the world of beliefs, opposites and opposings do not exist. Are you willing to communion? Uh-huh. Are you willing to communion with these two worlds?
The last sentence here, for in the world of beliefs, opposites and opposings do not exist, because a belief is my personal belief and can't stand by its own.
Well, in the world of beliefs, which is how you see the world, how you've taken all the information and everything into you, how can there be an opposite or an opposing? It is just the way you see the world.
Right. And you may see the world different.
You may see the world different than other people do, but it's not an opposing.
Right. Yeah.
Relative to what other people think, they may think that it's an opposing, but it is not. It is simply your belief.
Yeah.
Everybody else got that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, then I guess we're on to Sharon.
51, speak everything of these worlds, the seen and the unseen, in the awareness and realization for yourself as an illuminated being.
So what is the seen and what is the unseen?
The seen is for sure the physical.
Okay.
Yeah, and everything else.
But the unseen is also physical.
But the invisible physical. The non-visible physical. And where does belief and knowing fall in this?
Awareness is knowing.
Say that again?
Awareness is knowing.
Okay. And what is the realization for yourself as an illuminated being?
Good question.
What are the two worlds?
Knowing and believing.
Okay. So seek everything of these worlds, knowing and believing. The seen and the unseen, physical and non-visible physical, in the awareness and realization for yourself as an illuminated being. Okay? You're very quiet, Andrew. Okay, I guess that says it all.
I don't really grasp this. I mean, okay, it could be really important. I'm just not fully getting it right now.
That's important.
In other words, just try to seek all the knowings that you possibly can, and then and turn these into awarenesses that are realizations for yourself, you know, for your eternal self, the illuminated eternal being, or the illuminated being.
Well, what it really is that you already have it. So the seeking isn't like you have to go looking for it. It's just that awareness that it is there.
Well,
in both worlds.
Do you not think that, right? That every day in our lives we are seeking? Why do you think we're here in the physical?
Yes. But it's also, it says in the awareness and realization for yourself that it is already there. As that illuminated being, we already have access, right?
Right, but you know, the old saying, you know, you can cut a field of grass one blade at a time or go in with a big mower. Which would you prefer to do? If you just want to go under the assumption that we just are doing it just in everyday living, I don't think you believe that, because you're here trying to understand all this stuff.
Agreed. But that's the doing.
Yeah.
And we do really already have it. So that's what I'm just saying, is that in this, isn't that what this is saying, that we can seek it, but it's really in the awareness and the realization that for ourselves as illuminated beings, it is there.
It is there, but in the sense of what it's saying here, I think it's about making connections and putting it together, even though it's there in front of you. Unless you make the connections and put them together, it is meaningless.
Okay.
Okay.
I keep going back to Roger's screaming, it's not a doing.
It's not really
What you talking about?
Yeah.
What's that?
What it?
What it was he talking about?
I'm probably confusing it.
Well, it's just being clear on terms, because a lot of times he would say that, like, I would take things he said and apply it to the wrong thing or whatever. So I'm just asking for clarity.
Right. So that's, I may be doing that. He's not here to tell me.
Right. Okay. Shall we move on? Because maybe this will continue.
Okay. Simone?
52. Fruit on the tree portrays the transfiguration of the fruit of life to an awareful form, and invisible activity clearly appearing. I had a question mark here.
I'll bet you did.
Yeah, the fruits on the tree are the fruits of good and evil.
I don't think that that's what it's talking about here.
Okay.
He would have said fruit on the tree of good and evil. He's just using an analogy to say fruit, let's say an apple tree, portrays the transfiguration of the flowering bud to a full piece of fruit.
Out of nothing.
And the fruit,
fruit
representing its awareful form, coming into the wholeness of the transfiguration. And he's just saying that it's an invisible thing. You don't know why it's really happening, but you know it's happening. And it's the same thing in us. As we put things together, we don't know what's happening or why it's happening, but we are the fruit of that putting together and making connections.
Mm.
Of our knowings and of our beliefs, of the visible and the physical, invisible physical. So, all of that together. Okay?
Yeah. So, can I say in other words, I only see the constituents but doesn't know how it comes out then?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody else okay with that?
What occurs out of.
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew, back to you.
You know, 53, yeah?
Yeah.
The object of the eternal way is to develop a broader, more expansive realization through imaginative minding and believing. The attainment of imaginative consciousness is the greatest attainment there is. That's a hell of a statement, by the way.
All right, what does it mean to you, Andrew?
Well, I mean, you know, most people think oneness with God and enlightenment and knowing the way the world really is, reality as it is, you know, as such. I mean, that's the goal of most people. So imaginative minding is like taking our idea about what's possible in a wholly different direction.
Okay.
I mean, imaginative minding, you're wholly involved in. You're not, like, giving up yourself to understand the world.
And if you're living
you're
by...
You're, like, creator in imaginative minding.
Exactly. I was going to say, and what are you if you are living imaginative minding consciously?
Right. Well, you're the creator.
And is there anything greater that you can think of that you could do in this life?
Right.
No.
Right. So, anyway, it's just that bears some consideration. Just, you know, I mean, he doesn't really talk on about this specifically. I guess he does talk about it, but it's not specifically goes into this, but I just, definitely mind opening.
Okay. Ready for passage 54? Okay.
Yeah.
54.
Oh. Four.
It is not true that a spiritual world is real, while a world of senses is usual, for both worlds are the same. Both are physical. Only one is directed and guided by knowing, and the other by believing. In fact, dualities are not opposing either. It's just that one is founded on knowing and the other on believing.
Okay. So this is probably how he's saying... Yeah, because this is how, I think this is what he's getting into here. It's like, this is how you, he's saying how to do that imaginative minding. Meaning, you know, what do I want to say, enlightenment or attaining higher consciousness, that's always something you work at for a long time and can't really do until.
Mm-hmm.
This is something you can do right now. Is anybody on track with me on this, or y'all feel like I'm somewhere else?
I didn't hear what you said.
I said enlightenment or attaining higher consciousness and oneness with God is normally something that takes, you know, lifetimes of effort. And I think what he's pointing to here is by believing, you know, imaginative minding and believing, that's something you can do right now. That's the start and you can continue building it.
Yeah.
I don't quite get. Knowing is founded on spiritual, and senses are based on believing.
I think either one is based on believing. When you realize that.
And I think that's the ears instead of the ears.
But it says here on the last line, it's just that one is founded on knowing and the other on believing. And I quite don't get that.
Right.
No.
Okay, so let's take it apart, okay? Take the first part of the sentence. It is not true that a spiritual world is real, while a world of senses is usual, for both are the same. Both are physical. Why is that?
Both are unseen or invisible physical.
Okay, so which one is directed and guided by knowing?
Well,
to me, spiritual.
Really?
Okay, any other votes?
Well, that's just my guess, but because I'm knowing. It's not, but I don't know.
Okay. Only one is directed and guided by knowing, and the other is by believing. Okay?
Well, it's easier to change the believing, so.
My opinion?
Yeah.
Knowing is the senses, and the other is the spiritual, the believing. How about you, Andrew?
So it's tempting, because of the way he wrote it, it's tempting to assume that he put it in order and he's laying it out in order. Spirit is first, and so that one is knowing, and then senses is believing. I'm not saying this is what he's saying, but this is what I thought about when I first read it. And even if I'm wrong about this, if you think about it that way, it's actually got an intriguing set of possibilities, that your senses are all based on what you believe. So people think what they sense is real. But I'm not saying he's saying this. I tend to agree more with Nisi, but I'm just saying if you look at it this way, that he wrote it in the way he's saying it, then your senses, you don't sense things that are as they are at all. You only sense as you believe.
As you believe them to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, I follow you. Yep.
In that regard, Simone's first answer was correct. You know,
so you're saying if I touch a hot stove, it's only hot because I believe it's hot?
This is a great question. This is what I'm saying to think about that. Well, if I touch a hot stove, I guess the question is, what do I perceive? Do I perceive it being hot, or do I perceive vibrations, or pain, or I don't know what?
That's an interpretation.
all senses are interpreting.
Yeah.
Or you don't want to disagree with it, go ahead.
Yeah.
I did this.
Are all senses interpreted?
Well, I consider the yogi who puts his hand on a hot stove and doesn't get burned, I'm willing to consider maybe it's interpreted.
So you're saying that none of the senses are on the autonomic nervous system?
I'm not saying that. I'm proposing what if, just for the sake of where this might go.
Okay.
It's an interesting set of possibilities. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not saying. That's all I'm discussing.
Well, it is a sense that we interpret.
Yeah, and when you mention the nervous system, nerves are all reactions, are they, to something?
That's what you're saying.
Huh?
The router is via the brain.
The place where it's interpreted is in the brain. The nerves are just sending a signal. What we do with it in the brain...
All your senses are just your data collectors.
Right. But what we do with it is in the brain.
There you go.
Right.
I mean, what if? What if he's saying that's belief?
I can go with that.
See, that kind of then that just leaves you with then spiritual world is based on knowing, and that goes against everything that, you know, I think is traditionally matched up and paired with spiritual.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, most people are tempted to go, I think, down the path Nifty went with first, which is that spiritual is based on belief. Yes, because I believe so. Dreamlike or whatever, and then senses based on knowing what you
know
earlier, Simone, external evidence.
Pardon? Say that again.
External.
What did you say earlier? Knowing is.
I said original. I think I said it's spiritual. Or earlier in 49.
Ago, when we asked what was knowing and what was believing. What did you say knowing was? What did you say knowing was?
Knowing is from the outside, what I learn, what I study, what, information that I gather.
So if you take it that
believing
way,
is what I make out of them.
If you take it that way, then knowing is sensory.
I don't know how to answer
Right, exactly. Without him here to expand this conversation, this is sort of like, I don't know, it just in and of itself, at this moment, is kind of a giveaway statement. I don't know, maybe just consider both. Well, and actually, take it back. What he would say probably in a thing like this is, pick the one you want and go with it from there. And see what that tells you.
I think you're right.
So which one do you guys want? I personally kind of like the idea of spirituals based on knowing in the sense of what I've learned or what I've interpreted, memory, and I kind of like the idea that senses are based on belief just because it's different and expansive and makes me think about it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can easily try that out.
I just thought, Mary, give me a different one on this one.
No, actually, that I would say the same thing because senses can be changed.
Okay.
And if it's based on belief, then that's you can change it.
All right.
I don't know that that's what we said earlier.
Yeah, I'm not so sure either.
Because if we go with knowing as information and believing as what you do with that information, then that's the opposite of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. To me, a belief is stronger than a knowing. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's yours. It's what you've done with that information, in my opinion. I can't say what Roger was absolutely trying to get to, and he's not here to tell us, so we can only do the best that we can.
Well, what was your take, Misty, just for shits and giggles? What's your take on it?
For me, the spiritual world is the believing, and the senses is the knowing, because the senses are gathering information, which has to do with knowing, and then the believing is what you do with that information that you gathered. That's my take.
I got it. Right?
Mm-hmm. But stay tuned, because that whole thing, I might change my mind as we get further into this.
Yeah. Maybe we can come back later when we read on.
Okay. So who was next
we need
for
to look at this.
Reading?
Yeah. What's that?
Is who it me or Sharon?
Who was next to read?
Whoever.
I think it was Sharon.
Was after?
55.
Okay, 55. If you know right, you believe wrong. If you know illness, you believe well-being as an opposite. If you know good, you believe bad opposes you.
I mean, is anybody willing to go with those inherent beliefs? If we don't profess.
What do you mean?
Well, as I read this, he's saying if you believe, or what's here, if you
55.
Yeah, right. If you know
believe
right,
otherwise, you're knowing. Or
well, if you know right, then you're into judgments.
Right.
And you believe that there is a wrong.
It's all part of a package, even if we don't ever talk about it.
If you know illness, then that's a physical
because you believe in
judgment.
Well-being.
Judgment. Then you believe well-being as an opposite. It either you're good in well-being or you're bad in illness.
Yeah.
Right.
If you know good, all right, you're already into judgment. You believe bad opposes you. If you believe
right.
those things,
yeah.
it must be so.
Mm-hmm.
You believe in dualities and in right, wrong, and all of that.
Yeah.
It must be so.
Yeah,
I like this because it's a bit of a revelation for any of us who we don't think about it, but yeah, it's there.
Yep.
I mean, you know, how many people really consider what their beliefs actually are, even though they've never stated them out loud? I mean, it's all crawling around in there together.
Yeah, but very few people ever stop to really look at stuff like that.
And that's my point. You know, you could be living someplace like kind of like your dream life, and it doesn't make sense in dreams when they show you you're doing something you don't. Show you how you're living your life so you don't even realize how you're living your life. That's a really good example of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to beat that one to death. Does anybody else say anything on it?
Okay.
56. If you want to live a meaningful life at every moment without disappointment, it is important to live by what for you must be.
So,
my beliefs otherwise, huh? And carefully monitor the course of events in your life to see if that is the self and life you would willingly live eternally. If so, continue.
And that kind of addresses what you were just saying, Andrew. Most people don't stop to consider.
Mm-hmm. Live by what for you must be so. Yes. Those are my beliefs, are they?
Yeah.
I mean, it just brings up the other question of here is like, okay, so we've narrowed this down to right and wrong or things like we've talked about in Forever Living. That's cool, but you just imagine the other things that are, we're living that maybe we don't even realize. And we don't even know to ask the question.
True.
So anyway, my point is, like, to me, this just kind of blows my thoughts right out there. I think it's cool. It's worth, you know, having that experience. So, okay, Roger, thank you.
Okay, Andrew, back to you, 57.
Yep. To live your life by what must be so, begin by discarding all of your previous beliefs and experiences about life. When I read that earlier, like, my back hurt. Right through my vertebrae. I was like, oh, what? Oh, all right. Save a few old beliefs and experiences, but only precious ones dear to your heart. So this process is the same cleansing offered through death and rebirth. And I think because of the passages that came before, and, you know, how I was willing to think about them, just that set this up nicely because, yeah, I mean, it gives you an idea of how immense it might feel to start all of your previous needs.
Okay.
58.
I mean, does anybody ever try that? I mean, like since Roger, you know, pushed us about, you know, living eternal, getting outside of our loner body. Did anybody ever, like, those, well, I think maybe this might have been in the preparation exercises. Did they ever try to, like, think past?
Oh, and we did have a whole gathering on that.
What?
The baggage of language. Okay. Leave your old beliefs outside of the house and come in and get new ones.
Okay.
Yeah, we tried that.
Yeah. Basically, we found it does on language, but it's not only on language.
Huh?
It's dichotomy. Dichotomy?
What?
In general.
Does anybody know what she's saying?
No. I have no idea what that is.
Try it again.
the duality thing, you know?
Yeah.
What about that?
Yeah. The language is based on causing and opposites.
Yes, language is.
Yeah. And if you reconsider all your old beliefs, that's like a rebirth then.
Yes, that's what he's
when
saying.
And that's what we tried in that gathering too.
Okay. Whose turn is it?
Yours.
Okay. 58.
Yeah,
after this cleansing, start anew to rebuild your awarenesses and realizations of yourself and life, as a child does, with what you truly believe must be so.
Wow, yes, if I gave up everything I thought, not sure what I would start with, or if I was
Well, that's why it would be as a child does. You start just taking in information again and start putting it together into beliefs.
Right.
So you're not stuck in your old beliefs and ways.
Right.
You're giving yourself a whole new shot at this life.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sharon, 59.
If you continue living by truth, by ultimate reality, by matters as they are, by universal laws, by reliance upon your feelings, and an inner world, by what you discern and know, or by experiences and memories, though you believe this is wise, or an extremely smart way to live, it is a wrong smart that will create a life that will end in disappointment without any real meaning or purpose. Well, that just is not worth doing.
Yeah, the way of being able to go on and on and on in a sentence, but it's not really a sentence, it's a passage.
And never do anything.
I mean, you know, it's like you think, before this, I guess it never really occurred to me that, you know, before reading this, it never really occurred to me consequences of these kinds of things. But I totally agree with it.
Yep.
Yeah. Me too.
Word to the wild.
Okay, Simone.
60. It seems you are too wrong smart for your own good. And unfortunately, instead of starting anew to live the life that for you must be so, you call upon memories to live your wrong smart self over and over. Does that still seem so wise? No.
Just call me hamster.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Wow.
Okay, Andrew, 61.
Okay. 61. If you know the eternal context of yourself and life, and you are truly unhappy with your present life, must that be so? Wait a minute, what's that?
Unhappiness.
That must not be so. Must the eternal context be so? I think that's what he's saying.
Yes, I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah, because otherwise, unhappy, I don't think so. Must you continue that? Of course not. That would really be wrong smart. So discard that idea and begin anew. Fortunately, in beginning anew, you tend to follow your memories. That's my point. And continue your old beliefs and ways and unhappiness. Yep.
We are so much into certain patterns that we're not willing to let those go at all. Even if we know the patterns are self-destructive.
Yeah.
Anybody got any more questions on that one?
Okay.
62.
If you are discontent in what you are doing, must that be so? And must that continue? Of course not. So discard that and begin anew. Or be content. Of course, being content does not mean being satisfied. That is contentment.
Contentment. Okay, so basically it's saying, must you be discontent? And must you continue that way? And saying, no, of course not.
No.
So do something else, and let's begin anew, or be okay with where you are.
Yeah.
But being okay with where you are does not mean that you're satisfied. Okay?
No, satisfaction is also a judgment.
And then that is contentment. In other words, you're just saying, well, I'll make the most of this and I'll be okay with it. So there's a difference between contentment and being content. Contentment is a judgment.
Why is that so? I thought one is the noun and the other one is the verb.
I'm not following your question. Contentment.
Did I hear you correct? You said contentment is a judgment.
Yeah, and that is settling or being satisfied. Satisfaction is a judgment.
Ah, okay.
Earlier in this book on page 114, he said are we saying feeling of contentment, having your desires or expectations temporarily fulfilled? Or your dissatisfactions or anxieties satisfied for now? Yeah.
Okay, 63.
Being content means not being discontent. Oh, being content means not being discontent. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Andrew.
For obviously being content is foolish to those seeking truth or ultimate reality in any form to live by. For even if shown the truth or told about ultimate reality, these things would be so ridiculous they would resoundingly reject them and search for what must be true. Wait a minute, I gotta read that again. So obviously, and I've read this before, being content is foolish to those seeking truth or ultimate reality.
In any form.
Okay.
Here it goes. Obviously.
There's a few commas in here, yeah.
Right. Obviously, being content is foolish to those seeking truth or ultimate reality in any form to live by. For even if shown the truth or told about ultimate reality, these things would be so ridiculous, they would resoundingly reject them and search for what must be true.
I'm not sure what would be ridiculous.
Searching.
Ultimate reality?
Searching for truth or ultimate reality.
But he's saying, even if shown the truth or told about ultimate reality, these things, so I assume truth and ultimate reality, would be so ridiculous they would sound that it is only rejected. I'm not sure why those things would sound ridiculous. I'm not saying they wouldn't, I just don't know what he's referring to.
Okay, so if they showed them what was really the truth of everything and what is the ultimate reality, they would say, well, that's not so. So even if it was put straight in front of their face, because they're going through their filters and everything else, they wouldn't accept it and would search for more truth.
Right. Because why do you think that is?
Why do I think that is?
I mean, what is going on that they would do that? I'm picturing what's going on with the speakers that way.
I'm going to have to snuggle up closer to this phone because it's getting rainy over here.
Okay. I hear something.
So hang on a second while I move the microphone.
Did you say before what is ridiculous? Or are we on that? Because I was falling out of the line.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
So we're still on 64.
Okay.
I guess I don't know what ultimate reality et cetera is to know why this would sound ridiculous.
I think that what he's getting at is even if they were shown to what was really going on there, they would say, well, that's not it. There must be more.
Right.
So they're looking for things outside of themselves in order to know the truth of what is going on instead of just living self-evidently and being who they truly are and with their beliefs. And in that, they wouldn't be searching for the truth because they wouldn't be looking outside of themselves for what is going on.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah. I mean, I could follow that. I thought maybe he was referring to something else.
Okay. Well, what might that be?
That's my question. Was I didn't know what he meant. If you told him about ultimate truth, I mean, I thought he was referring to something we could actually tell him. I didn't know what that meant.
No. Well, I don't know how to answer that actually.
Well, I tracked that one differently.
Okay, so we're on what, 65? I think it's my turn. Is it possible that what must be true and what must be so for you are at war in your body and life, or at least in conflict? And there's a resounding yes for me.
Very high likelihood.
Really? Okay.
Because if I weren't in conflict, I wouldn't get sick. I wouldn't have, you know, a lot of things that are in my life.
I wouldn't have out picturings like whatever.
Except isn't that just shit happened?
No, but what I'm saying is that the eternal is in conflict with the body constantly.
I mean, this goes back to me anyway, just recalls to the earlier passages which said, you know, I mean, if you know right, then you believe in wrong. I mean, there could be so many things operating like that in our lives that we could even be living what we think is that we truly desire and be totally in conflict.
I agree. But it really comes down to...
They always want to do in their life and die unhappy.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say, is because it really comes down to if you are not having any discontent in your life, then it really doesn't matter. And then there was silence.
Right.
That's thinking in work. That's thinking in process.
Oh, okay. If you get sick, you're showing that there is discontent in your life. Yes or no?
What was that?
What'd you say?
If you get sick, then that means that there is discontent in your life.
Yes.
Yes.
No matter how much you know and how good stuff you've done.
And how much you think that you're living as you truly desire or anything else, when you outpicture illness, then it shows that there's a conflict.
I saw an interesting movie the other day. It's called Finding Vivian Meyer.
Okay.
Going to make a very short point here. Anyway, she's a real, it's a documentary, it's a real person who took like bazillions of photographs that nobody ever knew while she was working. She died in 96. Nobody ever knew. They were auctioning off her stuff, and some guy at random, interestingly, by the way, a guy who could, who he didn't necessarily make this as a big deal, but he said he's just always had this ability to look like him, like down the road, and he can tell you right away something that's like valuable or important or, you know, artistic, or can pick it out. And he just happened to buy for $300 a box of slides, photographs, whatever, undeveloped from this lady's collection or her estate, and he started getting into it, and he found this amazing, I mean, absolutely an amazing street, what they call street photographer. You've probably seen works like this before, and it's top-notch, you know, black and white, but anyway, so she lives her whole life. Apparently, as it comes out, he tracks down like all these people who knew her and said, "Did you know her? And tell me about her." And she was in all kind of, she was, you know, all kind of conflict and stuff. But she did a lot of what she wanted to do. And after she died, one person says, "Well, you know, what I learned from Vivian is living, you know, she had the life that she wanted." There's just no way. I mean, I know people want to think that, but she couldn't have been that much in conflict, you know, and angry at men, and locking her doors and not letting anybody in and keeping everything, or whatever. I just thought, you can do everything you want and not be living in desire. Even if you do great things, like amazing photography, the world is rediscovering.
Yeah, but that's just a talent.
Yep, that's it.
Mm-hmm. That's not who she was, and she didn't do anything with them.
She kept them hidden away. A lot of them she didn't even develop. I mean, there's only one postcard where she wrote some guy in France asking to go into business with her and develop them, because she'd actually decided that some of them might be quite good. But yeah, she never put it out there. She locked everything up in her room.
Which is the same thing as saying she locked herself away.
Oh, absolutely.
So she wasn't content in life. She did live discontent.
Yeah. And again, that's not picking on her or anything. That's just, you know, that's just kind of going along in line with.
No, but what she outpictured shows you.
People don't want to see that.
Yeah, what she outpictured tells you about her life.
Yeah, but people don't want to see that. They just want to see things like, oh, they did what they want, so they must have been happy.
Some of the most unhappy people I ever knew had materially in every other way everything you would think that somebody would want in their life. And they were just miserable. Because what they learned from that was all this stuff does not buy happiness. Does not buy content.
Right.
Okay, so who are we up to now?
I think it's mine.
Okay.
Is it 66?
66.
Is there a truth in your life, such as a purpose or destiny, or meaning and purpose, that you are trying to discover and live or ignore, which will only breed discontent? Or are you living as you truly desire, such that your being content must be so?
These are questions that you really need to ask yourself.
Yeah, this is a little personal.
They all are.
Yeah, they all do. Yeah.
When you really realize that nobody's reading these things by accident, each person's got a personal relationship to where they read, it's
yeah, definitely. I can just pick it up during the daytime and look at it. Send it.
Powerful stuff.
Huh?
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, but the point is, to me anyway, it's not just this stuff. I mean, life is talking, life, you know, you could do this all the time, this kind of awareness in your life.
Well, I went and bought a bunch of art stuff today because I have to start taking classes and start expanding that part of me because it's an area that I shut down a long time ago.
Well, do you have
to? That's a good point.
Do you desire to?
Do you have to or do you want to?
It's that I desire.
Yeah, because if you have to.
It's an area that I shut down, and you know, it's an area I want to explore.
Okay. But if it's a have to, then you're in trouble from the get-go.
Okay. Well, I told you I'm not good at saying this stuff.
Well, that's why I'm trying to help you see.
Yeah.
But Sharon, just consider maybe you are great at saying this. Maybe just consider that's exactly what is going on in your thought process, and, you know, where does that take you? That's all.
Right. Maybe that's where I need to go.
Okay.
I need to. Where do you want to be, I think, to me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not meaning to pick it apart. It just can be very expansive.
Okay, who owns 67?
Okay. Can you list by any belief, thought, attitude, emotion, word, and action you truly desire and be content? Can you be disappointed and content, or sick or hurt and be content in that? Can you be angry and content in that? Yes.
Yeah. And the answer to all those questions is yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Roger was a good teacher on that one.
Yes, he was.
Pardon?
She said Roger was a good teacher
Roger
on that.
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew. 68.
It seems that living as you truly desire and being content is more important than truth, destiny, meaning, or purpose, or anything in your body or life. It must be so. Do I read? Yeah, I want to read this next part.
Yep.
Being content is not being discontent.
You say it as a question.
You know, there's a funny thing about that. Really bothered me when I read that today. It's not much different than what he said up in 63, which is being content means not being discontent.
Yeah.
Except down here it says being content is not being discontent. And there's something about the language there that just kind of screws me up.
Okay.
It's like one of those not things, you know. Being content is not being discontent.
Yeah, but what a lot of people do is try to create content.
Right.
And you can't do that. All you can do is realize that you're not discontent, and in that you are content.
Well, so Right, so it bothered me at first thinking like, oh, this is a not thing. This is like, so saying like a horse is not a tomato. It doesn't tell you anything about what it is. So, because when I took another step with it, what was kind of tricky was, being content is not being discontent. I just follow that, then I can be anything else. You know? I can be bored, I can be, you know, open, I can be elated, I can be anything as long as I'm not discontent, then I'm not discontent.
Yep.
Bored probably wasn't the best example, but I could be anything else as long as I'm not discontent. I'm not discontent while I'm being discontent.
Okay. I will say that if it keeps raining over here like it is, I might have to end early. Because I'm having a really hard time hearing you guys. And I'm sure it's coming through the phone at you guys, too.
Yeah, it's coming through.
Oh, you're
on. I can hear it. Oh. So whose turn is it?
Misty.
Okay. 69. Do you believe you could ever be truly happy in a domineering relationship? Well, believe it or not, you have trapped yourself in a self-created, self-imposed, domineering relationship, and you are not the one in control.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not the one in control, who is?
Everything else.
Someone else.
All that is with outside yourself.
Oh.
Right.
Are we still here?
Yeah, we're still here.
I don't know. Oh, okay. It sounded like you got chopped off.
No, I'm here. I'm having a hard time hearing, but I'm here.
Okay. Shall I go on? Or Sharon? I think it's Sharon, huh?
No, it's Andrew. No, it's Sharon.
No, I just read, so now it's...
Me.
Okay.
70. You live a world dominated by God. Alignments and all happenings, as you believe them to be, are dominated by God. You are in a domineering relationship. So, what will you do? You can't just opt out of the relationship by denying you believe in God. For in that denying, God still exists, and you cannot get out of the universe or get divorced. What can you do?
What can you do?
What's good about creating these?
Well, I'd rather be dominated by God than the CEO. But that's discontent.
Okay. Guys, I'm going to call it there because it's not getting any better here, and I really can't hardly hear you.
Understood. Thank you.
Should we start with 70 next time?
71 next time.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So with that, I'll say good night for now.
Thank you. Good night. Enjoy
the
room.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
Yeah.
Make it a great day, Simone.
Yeah, I do my best.
Yeah, good.
I be gold in my life.
All right.
Wi-Fi keeps getting disconnected, so I'm not sure what's going on here.